All right. Well, good morning. How you doing today? You guys look good? Anybody running on that much sleep? John's got his hand back there. I did not watch any of the game last night, so I don't know if that makes me, I don't know what that makes me, but it makes me something. I don't know. What's that? We are well rested, yeah. Actually, Hillary came home from the game last night, and she said, "We won," and I was happy and surprised, and it was great. So, but more importantly, we're gonna jump into the Word. So, I want to ask you to get your Bibles out, open to Mark chapter 1 again, and if you would, there's a note insert in your bulletin, and pull that out this morning, and feel free to have that with you this morning, take some notes, and as God would speak to your heart. Let me get here to Mark chapter 1. All right. I am excited for this morning because you know how sometimes there's just those weeks when, you're praying and you just feel like God wants to do something. And then there's those spiritual warfare kind of things that hit, you know, and you're praying through those and those kind of thing happens, and so I just want to encourage you, as we go through this time this morning, I pray and I trust that you're here this morning because you're ready to hear from the Lord. If that's true, just say amen. 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 Okay. All right, so we'll establish that right off the bat. We're excited to hear from God this morning, and so we're going to jump in here into this text in Mark chapter 1 in a little bit. So we've been going through a series titled Called to a Mission, and we started a couple weeks ago, and we looked at that passage of Scripture where Jesus had called his first disciples. And he basically said to them, "I've called you to a mission. I'm calling you and I'm equipping you to go out and to reach the world in my name. And that's what I have for you to do." And he has for us to do kingdom work, right? That's why we're here. We know that. And then last week we looked at Jesus' mission personally, right? To be our Lord and to be our Savior. And we talked about how he verified that through his authority that he had, authority in his teaching, authority over the spiritual world, and authority over the natural world. And he demonstrated that he was qualified to do that. And now today, when we come to this passage of Scripture, it's a passage that brings us to this subject of prayer, okay? And so if we're going to be honest right up front, we would be able to say that prayer really isn't a natural thing for us. It's not something that comes natural to us. Sometimes, if we're honest, prayer is difficult, and sometimes it seems awkward, and sometimes we struggle sometimes. Many people struggle to make prayer a significant part of their lives, and so just for fun this morning, let's just watch this humorous clip. It's a movie clip, kind of summarizes sometimes what an experience with prayer feels like.
No, there was. We just never really sat down, like, planning this.
Oh,
It's okay to laugh. You know, when we're not in the habit of praying, sometimes that's what prayer feels like to us. You know, sometimes it seems awkward. Sometimes we don't know what to say. Sometimes if we pray for a minute or two, sometimes it actually feels like a really long time. And, you know, forget about praying in public, right? I mean, sometimes, you know, we just don't want to go there. It's way out of our comfort zones, and sometimes it feels forced or it feels made up. But being honest, you know, for many people, that's not too far of a description from sometimes what a prayer life looks like. And if we're honest, you know, we don't want to be that guy, right? I mean, as Christians, we don't want that to be the description of what our prayer life looks like. And so in this passage today that we're going to come to, it's a really important passage of Scripture because it teaches us and it shows to us that Jesus was a person who prayed. He had an intimate relationship with his Father, and he had a source of power for his mission, and it was through prayer, and it was through the relationship that he had with his Father. And so we need to look at this passage of Scripture this morning, and if you would, I'm going to read Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 39. Scripture says this: "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.' Jesus replied, 'Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come.' So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." Let's just bow again for a word of prayer. Father, would you teach us more today about prayer? Lord, would you move us closer to your heart? Lord, would you allow us to open up and be vulnerable in your presence so that your Spirit can speak to us and draw us closer to you, and that our relationship with you will grow and be strengthened through our time that we spend with you. Lord, we need this, and we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. So, today in our time, this message is not designed, and it won't be an exhaustive message on everything that the Bible has to say about prayer. But the question that we do want to answer, though, is we want to answer the question, what does this text have to say to us about prayer? So, but before we do that, I do just want to look at just a couple of things. If someone were to ask the question, just a simple question, and say, well, what is prayer? I mean, if we were to strip it back and if we were just kind of throw out a definition, maybe we could have a working definition, something like this. And it's in your notes, it's in the bulletin. I want to encourage you to read along with me. Prayer is directly talking to God for the purpose of communicating with my Creator, to express emotions and desires, to hear from God, and to have fellowship with Him. Prayer is directly talking to God for the purpose of communicating to my Creator, to express emotions and desires, to hear from Him, and to have fellowship with Him. So when we pray, right, I mean, in its simplest form, it's talking to God. It's me humbling my heart before Him, you know, and recognizing that He is God and that I'm His creation, and I'm going to talk to the God who has created me for the purpose of expressing emotions and desires. Look at this passage from Psalm 42. The psalmist writes, and he says this: "As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul." You know, we need to remember that God didn't just create us and then wander off into the distance. He's actively involved in the world today, and He longs for fellowship with us. He longs to hear from us, and that's what we do through this thing called prayer. And, you know, when we pray, we talk to God about real stuff. You know, we express emotions and desires. We may talk to Him about the things that are going on in our day, the things that we're excited about, the things that maybe we're wrestling with. There's times when we pray, we stop and we express to God just how amazing He is. And we have these times of praise and telling God that we love Him and adore Him. And, you know, maybe we stop and in prayer we recognize that God's love has been so great to us, and we thank Him that we can know His love. We express emotions and desires. Sometimes when we pray, we talk to God and we just say, "God, I don't understand what's going on right now. God, this hurts. Other times we express times of sorrow, times of confession when we pray, right? And we talk to God and we need to ask God to forgive us of things. You know, maybe, you know, a spoken word to somebody that was out of line, or things that we said that hurt people, or things that we said or we thought or that we did. We pray and we express our desires, and sometimes we pray things like, God, you know it's on my heart to serve you in this way, and God, if, you know, just lead me the way that you want me to go. You know, God, I have this desire, you know, or we pray about things, you know, maybe about, God, show me which way I can serve you. Show me which college you want me to go to. Lord, you know I have this passion to maybe this particular job, and we ask God for things, opportunities, or we're praying for a friend, and we have these requests, right, that we bring to God. So we also pray because we want to hear from God. Look at this passage of Scripture. Jesus said this in John chapter 10. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. He also said, he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought them out all on his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Because they know his voice. And so if we're here this morning, and if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Scriptures tell us that God has put the Holy Spirit inside of us. And when we pray, that God is able to communicate, God's Spirit is able to communicate with my spirit. And he's able to guide us, right? He's able to lead us. Sometimes he will nudge us to do certain things or say certain things because we're able to recognize the voice of God because we are his sheep. I'll never forget one particular story where this really stood out to me was when I was in high school. We were on a missions trip, and we were in a mall in Chicago, and we were doing some just some evangelism and talking to people and interviewing people, and we were just about ready to go, and we were gathering in the main common area, and my youth pastor, he said, before we go, he said, I know the bus is outside and we're supposed to go right now, but he said, I sense that the Lord is telling me that I need to go over and talk to that guy who's sitting over there on that bench. And so he goes over to this guy, and he says, excuse me, and he introduces himself, and he says, you know, we're here just, you know, talking to people about the Lord, and I wonder if I could talk to you for a little bit. And this guy, he says to my youth pastor, he says, you know, I was just about to leave. He said, I'm a businessman, and I make phone calls, and I was just about to leave for the day. And he said, but something, I felt a sense that I was supposed to just sit right here, and I didn't know why, and I was supposed to sit right here and wait. He said, so that's what I did. And this guy goes on to tell the story about how he had been wrestling with believing in God's existence because he had been an atheist. And so my youth pastor was able to share the gospel with him. And that day, that guy trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And it was so awesome because all of this was part of this internal, you know, response of God's Spirit communicating with our spirit. And God does this every day in ways that are absolutely amazing. I was just reflecting this morning, you know, that's an older story, but what are the ways that God does this? You know, you might have had, I know in my lifetimes, you know, where God just says, man, I need to go speak to this person and encourage this person, or I just need to pray with this person. Or sometimes, you know, if I'm getting frustrated or in my flesh is, you know, kicking up and I feel like I'm getting angry about something, you know, and then God says, look, just, you need to be patient, you know, and you need to just pray, you need to trust me. And, you know, and there's all these ways that God does this through prayer because we're able to hear from God. Sometimes God is going to speak to us and he's going to convict us about sin, all right? And sometimes he's just going to encourage us because he's a personal God. If we're struggling with something, God has the ability through prayer to give you a peace that passes all understanding as you're wrestling with things. And so, you know, prayer is for us to hear from God. Prayer is also for us to have fellowship with God. If we look at this verse in John 15, verse 15. The Scriptures say to us, Jesus said, no longer do I call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, Jesus spent a lot of time with his disciples, and he talked with them a lot. I mean, he obviously shared a lot with them. They learned a lot about who God was by spending time with him. That was fellowship. That was him developing a friendship with them. And so when we pray, we're spending time with God and we're developing our friendship with God. Not to say that we remove any of reverence for him and coming into his presence with a sense of respect. We don't lose any of that. But we also come to God because Jesus said right here, no longer do I call you servants, right? Instead, I have called you friends. What an encouraging thing to know that when I pray, I'm talking to a God who has considered me his friend. I hope that encourages you this morning. And so when we think about these things, this is just a working definition of prayer and what prayer is for us. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, there's three things that the Lord laid on my heart this morning I just want to share with you, and I trust it will be an encouragement to you. I think there's three important elements of a prayer life in here that Jesus role modeled for us so that we can live in power for the mission that God has called us to. Okay, three important elements of prayer. If we look at verse 35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and went off to a solitary place. When we look at that verse, what do we learn from this? First of all, God wants prayer to be intentional. God wants prayer to be intentional. Very early in the morning while it was still dark. Now, I don't know about you, but after a long, busy day, the first thing I'm usually thinking about is sleeping in. Anybody else like that? Okay, that's me. All right, how long can I sleep in? Hit the snooze button. But by Jesus' example, he teaches us that prayer is not something that can be haphazard. Prayer is not something that we can leave to chance. It's not something that we really should just try and squeeze in our day. Communion with God is essential for us. And it's so essential that Jesus got up very early in the morning while it was still dark. Now, we know what it's like to be busy. How many of you felt busy this week? Just nod your head, right? You felt busy this week. You know, for many of us, we wake up early in the morning, we head off to work. You know, some of us get to make it home by dinner. Those of us who have kids, we squeeze in some time to play with our kids. We've got projects around the house we've got to take care of. We've got things that we have to do. We've got odds and ends. And we go to sleep and we wake up and it feels like we do it all over again. Some days it feels like a rat race. And we're guilty of saying oftentimes, you know, there just isn't enough hours in the day, right? How many of us have said that? So the question is where does prayer fit into our busy lives? Where does prayer fit into our busy lives? Jesus' example is that you make it fit. You make it fit. It has to be intentional. You know, think with me. What are the things in our lives that we are intentional about? Anybody here a coffee drinker? I'm going to step on the toes of the coffee drinkers, right? You know, we're intentional about, you know, those of you who are coffee drinkers, right? Getting that cup of coffee in the morning. Don't miss it, you know. Get down to Sheets or wherever your favorite coffee is, right? Get that cup of coffee. Some of us, you know, we're very committed, we're very intentional to making sure we get our workouts in. You know, make sure we get to the gym, or make sure we get that run, or make sure we get that weight lift on. You know, we're very intentional about some of those things. Some of us are very intentional about not missing that favorite television show that we watch, right? You carve out that time, we have to be home to watch that television show. It could be making sure that you have time in your week to spend with that person in your life that is very important to you, and so we carve out that time. It could be your spouse, it could be a good friend. We're intentional about a lot of things, aren't we? But the question we have to ask is talking and listening to God intentional for us? Because for Jesus, it was. Jesus needed to be with the Father. He wanted to be with his Father. The Bible tells us that the Trinity is one God in three persons, is existing eternally, right? For all of time, forever, eternally. And so God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have existed together forever in a sweet fellowship and relationship with each other. And so by God's design, through salvation, his desire is to invite you and I into that kind of fellowship with him, because he knows just how good that fellowship is. And his joy is to invite us into that. You and I have an invitation from God every moment of every day to talk with God. Question is, are we doing it? And here, Jesus blocks out an intentional, you know, block of time that he can spend with the Father. Think about this, and I think, you know, we do the same thing with people in our lives that are really important to us, don't we? You know, we want to be with them. And, you know, one of my most favorite persons in my life is my wife, right? And there's time, it's okay, you can go, aw, that's all right, you know. You know, life gets busy, and there's times when we just have to look at each other and we have to say, okay, we're blocking off this particular time to just you and I, right? And we're going to put it on the calendar, and it's not going to be anybody else. And you know what I've learned about those times? You know, some of you may have the same experience, but when we spend time and it's just the two of us together, you know, I realize and I remember that there's a whole side of our friendship and our relationship that comes out again, that tends to get buried in the everyday busyness of life. Right? I mean, between raising a family and managing the affairs of life and communicating in the middle of all that, but not really communicating that deeply. When it's just the two of us, it takes me back to when we were dating, and I see sides of her and things that reminded me of just how much I love her and why, you know, why I fell in love with her in the first place. And our, thank you. Just so you know, I didn't do anything really stupid last night. I'm not making up for anything. Should probably say that. But our relationship with God goes the same way. If we're not intentionally spending time with God, we're going to forget about the good things that, and we're going to forget about what brought us to Him in the first place, and the sense of awe that we ought to have in who God is. And you know, we may know Him in a formal sense because we go to church. We may know Him in a formal sense because we attend a Bible study. But we need an intentional alone time with the Lord so that we will really fully know Him, and that we will really, our hearts will be awakened and explode with love for God. We need to have those deep moments in our soul where we will say, God, You really are amazing. Because we cannot worship a God that we do not know. It's impossible. We cannot worship Him throughout the week. We cannot worship Him on a Sunday morning when we gather together if I haven't spent time with Him and if he's not blowing me away with who He is. And so prayer needs to be intentional, and Jesus role modeled that for us. I think He did something else here in this text. And that's that prayer takes discipline. Prayer takes discipline. It says that Jesus got up, He left the house, and He went off. Now, I want you to think about this with me for a minute and try and put yourself in this situation. Jesus, the scripture, you know, Jesus didn't just get up and pray in His room where He was sleeping, but He left the house and He went off. He didn't just do what was easy, but He did what was disciplined and what would have been hard, so that He could maximize His time with His Father. And we don't know where He went or how far He went, but the scripture says that He went. He decided where He was going to go. And it took discipline for Him, it must have, for Him to overcome the feelings of tiredness in the morning, to overcome the feelings of being lazy so that He could spend time with His Father. I mean, can any of us identify with that? Yeah. This is discipline. To be disciplined at something means to demonstrate a controlled form of behavior or a way of working. It's deciding that something is so important to me that I'm not going to allow anything to get in the way of me accomplishing that. Discipline. You know, and when we read the Bible and we look at Jesus, we know that He experienced humanity just like you and I do. You know, the scriptures tell us a full range of things, like He experienced hunger, He experienced tiredness, He knew agony, He knew pain. And yet none of that overrode His commitment to spend time with His Father. How many times for us have any of those things gotten in the way? We need to confess and say, yeah, some of those things have gotten in the way for me spending time with God. This is an area where we naturally struggle. It's okay to admit that. You know, it's like we can identify, maybe we start a diet, you know, and then 1 week later we're off the diet, right? We've all been there. We join the gym, and then before you know it, we're looking back and say, wow, it's 3 months since I've been at the gym. Why am I even paying to go there, you know? And we start spending time with God and His Word, and sometimes eventually it tails off, and you know, and before we start back up again. How can we find success in being disciplined in our relationship with God when it comes to prayer? There's four things I'd like to suggest to you this morning. Number one is pray about and ask God to give you a supernatural discipline. Pray about it and say, God, You're strong enough to give me the desire to do this. And so pray about it and ask God to give you, you know, a supernatural desire to be able to be disciplined. Secondly, find someone that can help hold you accountable. Find someone in your life who will say, you know what, I love you, and let's do this. Let's make sure that we're really seeking after God. Let's make sure that in my relationship, I'm pursuing God. Maybe if you have a smartphone, maybe just put it on your calendar app and set a reminder, something that's going to say, this is going to be the time of the day for me that I'm going to go pray, and set a 30-minute or a one-hour reminder. Fourthly, maybe just get enough sleep at night, because if we're tired, we're not good to anybody, and Prayer is going to be the first thing that's going to go if we're not getting enough sleep at night. You know, when I think about discipline, I was thinking about this week, oftentimes my mind, I don't know about you, but my mind tends to go towards an Olympic athlete. And I think about how hard they have worked and how disciplined they have been to be the best in the world at what they do. And I read this quote this week from Mark Spitz, he's a USA 7-time gold medalist in swimming. And talking about his sense of discipline, he said this. He said, if you fail to prepare, you're prepared to fail. If you fail to prepare, you're prepared to fail. And I thought, man, what if we had the same attitude towards God, and we said, God, I don't want to fail in my prayer life. God, I want to know the fullness of who you are, and I want to experience you in my life. Because God, you have called me. You are an amazing God. You have a mission for me to live out for you on this earth, and I don't want to miss that. God, I don't want to get sidetracked. God, I don't want to fail at this. God, I don't want to fail at knowing you. Author Pastor William MacDonald, he said this. It was interesting in his commentary on this verse. It was really good. He said, notice, too, that he prayed when it cost him something. He arose and went out a long while before daylight. Prayer should not be a matter of personal convenience, but of self-discipline and sacrifice. Does this explain why so much of our service is ineffective? End quote. Sometimes we make ourselves so busy for the things of the Lord, and we've forgotten to even pray first and ask God and say, God, you know, I want you to be at the center of what I'm doing. I want you to be at the center of my life. God, I want you to be at the center of my church. And in this text, there's this suggested parallel here that Jesus went out to pray before he went out to preach. And we need to be reminded sometimes it's not just about what I do for God, but it's about who I am in him. Amen? It's about not just doing, but it's about being. It's about being in his presence and allowing the creator of the universe to speak to me and peel back the layers in my life and the things in my heart that maybe I've put up that maybe have been a wall. Maybe the things that I need God to strip away and replace it with himself. And so Jesus demonstrated discipline in his personal life to make time to be with God the Father. So I ask you this morning, you know, how is your prayer life? When I ask that question, let me just throw this out there, because the last thing I want to do is I do not want you to feel a sense of guilt. I want to point you back to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I want you to remember that everything that we can't do on our own, Jesus did for us. The Christian life is not about feeling a sense of guilt. It's about looking to Jesus Christ, who said, it is finished. I have done it for you. You can't do this on your own. You can't live this life on your own. You can't live the Christian life on your own. And so Jesus comes as the perfect Son of God to live the perfect life for me that I failed to. And I turn and I look at him and say, thank you, Jesus, that you did this for me. And Jesus, you are the one who is going to help me to spend time with you. You're the one that's going to help me. You're the one that's going to give me the strength to spend time with the Father, because I struggle to do this on my own in my flesh. And we could ask the question, what presence of God's transforming power are we missing? Maybe when we don't pray enough. James 5:16 says this, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Look at these two verses of Scripture. This verse here. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I remain in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We all know, we all understand that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But next slide, same verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. He will bear much fruit. So, you know, we can ask, say, which one better describes our life right now? We need to wrestle with this. Jesus also teaches in this passage the third thing, that he teaches us that prayer requires solitude. Prayer requires solitude. Jesus went off to a solitary place. He role modeled that if personal prayer is going to be effective, we must eliminate distractions. I mean, our minds are easily pulled away into a million directions, right? I mean, maybe right now I'm talking, my voice is going like this, and you're thinking about dinner, you're thinking about what you have to do this afternoon, you know? Our minds are easily pulled in a million ways, and we have to remove distractions. I think about it, it's kind of a hilarious situation. Some of you might be able to identify with this, but like in our home around the dinner table, it's just chaos most of the time. And it's chaos in the sense that, you know, my kids are so excited to tell us about their day, you know, and I've got all three of them are talking at the same time, and they're trying to over-talk each other, and they're getting louder and louder and louder, and I've got one child that's just randomly singing some song, you know, la, 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 you know, and they're like, and my day, la, 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 you know, it just goes on and on, it's just chaos, and they're just, excuse me, pass the beans, pass the meatloaf, pass the, you know, and it's just chaos. And sometimes I literally have to say, okay, let's all just stop, because I really want to hear what you have to say. Because every one of my children matters to me, and I want to hear what they have to say to me. And I think we ought to have the same approach to God, to say, I need to remove the distractions because my God is so important to me that I want to hear every word that God has to say to me. I don't want to miss it. In order to do that, we need to have a place of solitude. We need to have that place where all the distractions are removed. And so where is that place for you? If you don't know, I encourage you to find it. Because obviously Jesus needed it. We need it even more. Now, when we look at this passage, it teaches us that there is a result from this. And it's really interesting. Mark chapter 1, verse 36 to 39. Let's look at it again. Simon and his companions, they went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And here's the result. The inward work of prayer powers the outward work with direction and discernment. The inward work of praying, when we pray, it powers the outward work of God in us with direction and discernment. So here in this story, this is fascinating because Simon Peter and a group of other people, they're actively trying to pursue Jesus. They're trying to find him. And if you have an NIV Bible here, the language is actually pretty weak. The Greek here gives this idea that they were hunting him down. I mean, they are on the hunt. Like, we have got to go find Jesus, and we are not stopping anything. We got to go get him now. And they're thinking, Peter's thinking here is like, you know, wow, Jesus, yesterday was amazing. You know, we had all these people that were coming to you, and you were doing all these amazing things, and all this awesome stuff was happening. And God, you were healing people with diseases and, you know, casting out demons, and this was just this absolute, like, incredible day. And their sense is, you got to get back to that. Like, there's more to do. You got to go. Jesus, we need you to do this. And Jesus' response is this. He says, "Let us go somewhere else. Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." You kind of get the sense that they're thinking, no, like, wait, hold on, that's not right. Like, the people are waiting for you, Jesus. I mean, yesterday was awesome. You got to do this again. And so when we look at this, we see that Jesus' ministry was defined by his communication with the Father. His life and his direction and his discernment was defined by his communication he spent with the Father, not by what other people told him he should do. J.R. Edwards, in his book, The Gospel According to Mark, he writes and he says this on this subject. He says, "Discipleship consists not in attempting to control God's work, but in following God's Son." Think about that. Discipleship for us consists not in attempting to control God's work, but in following God's Son. So Jesus knew what God wanted to do because he spent time with his Father. And the people around him, they may not have understood that. But he was going to do the will of the Father before he was going to do anything else. And so our job as followers of Jesus is to follow where God is leading, right? And to not try to control God's work, but rather to follow him. So often in our lives and our ministries, don't we sometimes run ahead of God? You know, we think in our minds, we try to control what God should be doing instead of praying and asking and saying, "God, what is it that you want to do?" And then when God starts to move among us and show us, if we're looking and if we're listening, we will see those things and we will move in that direction. Now, at this point, I just wanted to share as we kind of wrap things up. I just wanted to share just a little bit about my experience and my life journey in this regard. And you know me, and I just want to say this up front. I'm not sharing this in any sense. I'm not trying to boost myself up or cause any pride on my part. But in terms of praying and my life's journey and things that God has done, you know, we look back in time. God led Hillary and I here in 2007 through 2013 to serve as your youth pastor. And those were 6.5 awesome years of ministry, and we loved your kids and we poured our lives into your family. And there were 9 months of prayer that was involved in God deciding to take us out and to lead us to Royersford, Pennsylvania. But God was doing things behind the scenes that I couldn't fully see as we were walking by faith and as we were listening to his voice. And first, I met Pastor Seth shortly after we had moved down there. And that was a divine appointment. He reached out and called me and he said, hey, he said, you know, I'm thinking about, I feel like God's calling me and leading me to Park Forest Baptist Church, and I wonder if I could just meet with you. And so we met together for a cup of coffee, and we talked and dialogued and shared our hearts together, and it was awesome. And God was planning on bringing him and Tabby here to be a part of this church family and to be your youth pastor. And literally, it was almost as if God had picked us up and just transferred our locations. It really was unbelievable. And I told our students in 2013, I said, to trust God, because God is going to bring to you the right man that is needed. And I believe with all my heart that Pastor Seth and Tabby are supposed to be here. I know that. And in the last 2.5 years, God had chosen to refine me, to take me through some challenging family experiences, to grow through those, to put me through challenging ministry experiences and some painful experiences, not knowing that his plan was to bring us back to State College to serve him again. And as I said, I believe that God needed to move Hillary and I out of the way to bring Pastor Seth and Tabby here. And I know that they are here for a reason. And I know that God needed to take me through some difficult ministry experiences to prepare me for the next phase in the chapter of what he has for me. And I just share all that with you this morning, that all of those major decisions were bathed in prayer. And I'm amazed. I literally am amazed when I sit back and I think about how the outward work of God was directed by the inward work of prayer. I mean, I had no idea. No idea. If I could just, I'd sit down with you and I could talk to you for hours about the things that God has done in the last 2.5 years. Absolutely blows my mind. We need to be people of prayer. We without prayer, we cannot know God. And we will not be able to accomplish what he could accomplish through us if we're not praying. Now, to kind of wrap things up, I want to share a video with you this morning. God really laid this on my heart. This is a video that I had come across a number of years ago, and I hadn't thought about it at all. When I went into the text and I studied this, you know, for this week, it wasn't like this was on my list of things to show. But it was one of those things where God just, out of nowhere, for no reason, brought it to my remembrance. It's a sermon slice from David Wilkerson from 2002. David Wilkerson passed away in 2011. He's the author of the book, The Cross and the Switchblade. He started out his earlier days many years ago right here in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. And God called him to New York City to reach out and to minister to youth and to reach out and minister to gangs. And if you ever read the book, The Cross and the Switchblade, it's an amazing story of his life and the power of God and what God can do through the life of a man and people who are willing to say, God, use me. And this sermon slice, bits and excerpts from his message, I want you to hear it. He preached it in 2002. The title of the sermon was A Call to Anguish. A Call to Anguish. It's an extremely powerful message. And I really prayed through it, and I felt like the Lord wanted us to hear this morning. So, if we can go ahead and roll it.
Today, and all I see are the intentions of ministry. The emotion is so stirred that it becomes painful, acute, deeply felt inner pain.
So I prayed this week, and I said, Lord, I don't want to create a sense of emotionalism in our people. But I did feel that there is some way that God would desire for us to respond. And I wrestled with that because I said, God, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know. I don't want to do the wrong thing, Lord. I don't. And so just last night, this morning, this is what the Lord said to me. He said, Jeremy, he said, it begins with you. And so we're going to sing a song here in a little bit just as we wrap up our service. But my prayer is that you will wrestle with whatever God is doing in your heart, if he's doing something right now, and that whatever way that maybe God would have you to respond to him, that you would be obedient to that, okay? For me, I want to be that kind of man. And so as we sing this final song, I've made the decision, I'm just going to be up here and I'm just going to pray. And if you feel, if God would have you choose to come up this morning and you feel like that's a way for you to renew your commitment to the Lord and your passion to pray and be with him, then if you feel that, just come and just kneel and just pray or stand and sing. Certainly you could do it right from where you're at. There's no right or wrong way to do it. This morning when we prayed, the worship team together before we met, it's just an incredible sense of really praying for God to move and do his work in our hearts. And I really believe there's something that God wants to do, not only in me, but in us as a church family. And so when God speaks to us, and if he's challenging, I just encourage you to do what you need to do to respond. So I'd like to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to sing Forever Rain. Let me pray quick while they're getting set up. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for being here in this place. You're calling us. You're inviting us to yourself, that we might know you and know you in the fullness of all that you are. And Lord, we confess that so often we get distracted and we struggle, and we need to come back to you again and renew our devotion to you and have a conversation with you. And so we pray as we sing this song, Lord, that you would do whatever that work is that you need to do in our hearts for your glory.